Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen, and our living Lord speaks to us tonight through his word from the gospel reading, in which I'm going to preach. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, open our minds so that we may understand the scriptures and know all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have once again gladdened our hearts with the good news of your resurrection and our resurrection through you. May we continue to rejoice as we listen to you speaking to us tonight. Amen. Aha! Now I get it. Have you ever had an experience of discovering the key point that suddenly helps you understand the whole thing? It's like something clicks into place for the first time, and instead of just seeing one little part of something or maybe two or three bits of something, you understand the overview, the bigger picture. A mass of information and facts that you've been trying to get your mind around begins to fit together and make sense for the first time. For me, this happens when finally I get my brain round how to assemble a piece of furniture from IKEA. Comes in pieces in a box. It's just a jumble of screws and pieces and brackets and hinges. And then finally somebody, usually my wife, who's much better at this sort of thing, helps me sort it out. And there's that moment where I suddenly see how the thing fits together. And I think, why didn't I see it before now? Often what helps people come to that moment of understanding, to say, now I get it, is that you get that crucial glimpse of the whole, not just the parts, so that you can understand what it is you're dealing with and how it works. Your mind is opened up so that you can see not only the pieces, but the bigger picture. One thing I find a lot as I work with students at the seminary in teaching them and helping them grow in their understanding of Scripture and the Christian faith is that they are struggling to piece together some of the odd bits and pieces that they know about and have. It's like the two disciples here on the road. They have part of it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. They don't see how it fits together. They know Jesus was a great prophet, that he died and rose, but my students often don't really understand why Jesus died, or not in any fuller, deeper sense, and as they progress through their education, they gain a deeper understanding of the whole picture, the kind of understanding that Jesus gave to these two disciples on the road. If you feel that you fall into this category, that when you read the Bible or you think about the Christian faith, not everything is clear to you, not everything fits together, you're in very good company. Because as well as Cleopas and his friend here on the road, this is how Jesus' own disciples were for most of the time that they were with Jesus in the 3 years that he spent with them. Read the Gospels and you see that the disciples have a very sketchy picture indeed of what Jesus is really talking about. They ask a lot of questions that show that they really don't get it. When we read it from our place in history, looking back, knowing and understanding the meaning of what Jesus is doing and saying, we sometimes think that the disciples are a bit dense. But think of it from their point of view. They were seeing these things and experiencing them and trying to piece them together in the moment for the first time. Even after Jesus' resurrection, they have only bits and pieces of an understanding of what Jesus' mission is and what is really happening. As Jews, Jesus' disciples would have known that the scriptures of the Old Testament were important. They would have known some parts of them, for certainly, and they would have known the five books of Moses, the history, the prophets, the Psalms, certainly, from their worship life. But how it all fitted together with Jesus and with this dying and rising again, they did not really understand. They knew and believed in Jesus and they followed him, but it's clear that they don't really understand. They don't really get it. That's a bit of a worry, because these 12 guys are going to be the first missionaries of Christ sent out into the world. Remember what Jesus says at the end of that reading, the gospel reading, you are witnesses of these things. They're going to be the first missionaries who take the gospel out into the world. They are witnesses, but witnesses of what exactly? How are they going to testify to the gospel if they don't understand everything how it works, what it is, what it means, how to preach it, how to declare it to people? As you read the post-resurrection stories in the Gospels, you see that something has changed spiritually after the resurrection. Jesus, who has now finished his work of redemption, has now completed the picture. And now is the time that others can begin to see the whole and not just the parts. This is the time where Jesus opens the minds of his disciples, breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the time where Jesus begins to show the full and deep importance of his ministry, his death and resurrection. You might recall the times during Jesus' ministry in the Gospels where he says to his disciples, as he said to Peter just the night before his death, "You do not understand now, but later you will." Well, that time after the resurrection had arrived, and that was the time where Jesus would help them understand. And Jesus now opens up the minds of these disciples and others too, like Cleopas and his companion here in the text as they walk on the road. He opens up their ability to understand. They have that moment of aha. Their hearts burn within them, they say. This story is a story about the Word of God and how it speaks to people, not only in their minds, but in their hearts and consciences, and shows us the truth of God's work in the world through his word. That word which is still going out and being spoken and heard today. And especially how Jesus is the key figure who makes all of this fit together. Here in Luke 24, Luke tells us that Jesus opens up the minds of these people to understand the scriptures. Jesus is the Bible teacher and interpreter. He is himself the living word of God, as John tells us. And so, as he teaches the word of God, he is teaching himself, the one who is at the center of everything. As theologians say, Jesus is the material principle of the scriptures. He's the thing that makes it all make sense. He's at the center of it all. His death and resurrection is the key point. It's that key moment of aha when we understand Jesus' centrality. He gave these disciples that big overview, that picture, an understanding of God's plan, explaining the Old Testament and how he had fulfilled it, so that at last those disciples began to understand. Thus it is written, says Jesus, that the Messiah has to suffer, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness be proclaimed to all the world.
Here it is, the core of it all.
The central moment, not just of the history of Israel, but the central moving part, the central fulcrum, if you like, in the whole of human history. The whole history of our creation, our world, is right here as Jesus speaks with these two people on the road. Jesus puts all of the confusing pieces together. And he did this not just so they themselves could see and understand it, but also so that they could explain it to others and fulfill that calling to be witnesses, apostles, teachers, and evangelists in the world. And the deposit of that teaching, which these disciples, not just Cleopas and his friend, but all of the 12 disciples, which they have received, is deposited, written for us in the New Testament of our scriptures. It's what we sometimes call the deposit of apostolic teaching. The apostles received their teaching. They had their minds opened by Jesus themselves, and what they wrote down, we've received through them, but from Jesus. And so the Christian faith has been passed on down to us in this way. Jesus is still opening minds and hearts to the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. And he wants to open our minds and hearts, each one of us here tonight. In fact, he wants to lead each one of us into that deeper understanding of his work and his word that these two disciples received themselves. First of all, for our own sake, for the sake of our faith, not just head knowledge, but our deeper heart knowledge, our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can know his love and peace and redemption, assurance of forgiveness, life and salvation. First of all, for our sake, but also for the world's sake, so that we can be witnesses too. So that if and when we receive that opportunity to share the gospel, to live the gospel to somebody else, we are able to do for that person what Jesus does for these disciples. One of the frightening things that we find in the Lutheran Church sometimes is how little we Lutherans overall read our Bibles. Interestingly, our church has the heritage of Luther, the great Bible translator, the great Bible scholar, but it seems that many Lutherans have stopped reading their Bibles. And this is a concern, because if people are hesitant or apprehensive about reading the Bible, what happens is they miss out on a lot of this deeper knowledge and understanding that Jesus wants to give. We will tend to reach a bit of a point of maturity where the growth stops and stays in the same place if we don't continue to grow in our biblical understanding and knowledge through reading and studying it. If Jesus is going to open our minds, we need to open the scriptures. The fantastic promise is, though, that when we do that, Jesus will meet us right there on the road, as it were. When we study scripture, the Holy Spirit goes into action in your mind and in your heart and becomes your teacher. Jesus himself, through the Spirit's work, becomes your teacher as you read and study the Bible. You're like Cleopas and his friend. You meet Jesus on the road in your daily life, where he speaks to you through the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the one who inspired Scripture, and the one who is the inspirer and teacher of our hearts too, is the one who will make our hearts burn within us with the resurrection good news. He does this in all kinds of ways through his word. When we have our daily devotion, when we read a Bible passage for each day, he does it when we sit here in church and listen to readings from Scripture and the sermon. He does this when we sit down together and read the Bible and study the Scriptures in groups and committees, as church leaders at Bible study, where the Holy Spirit uses us to open each other's hearts and minds sometimes. Jesus seeks to walk with us on our daily journey and draw us deeper in to understanding. He seeks to reveal himself to us, teaching us to spend time, to have a place in our daily life where we sit down and open the word and let him speak to us and meet with us there. He wants to open and broaden our minds, our understanding, not to give us just some kind of technical head knowledge, but so that we may see and know and feel his loving will for us and for the whole world. He wants to open our minds also to the amazing possibilities of how he might be working in our lives. I'm reminded very much of the number of times that young students, when they come to see us at ALC and they say, "I think God's calling me to be a pastor." And we say, "Well, what makes you think that?" Very often they tell us that some circumstance has drawn them into the Word. And as they study the Word, they have that experience of the Holy Spirit saying, calling them, drawing them into ministry and making them aware that God has a special calling, a special job for them to do. Jesus wants not only to speak to us about his resurrection, but he wants to enact his resurrection in our lives through his word. He wants to bring us alive in faith, hope, and love, just as he did in this 24th chapter of Luke's gospel. He wants us to get it, to receive and believe what he has done in his death and resurrection for us and for all people. He wants us to discover the hidden riches of his word. He wants us to see how he himself is the jewel at the centre of Scripture, and that as we come to know him more and more deeply, the Scriptures will open up to us. He wants to put together the pieces so that we say, "Ah, now I get it." We're celebrating tonight this great high festival of the church, Easter. We're celebrating because the faithful witnesses of the apostles, faithful witness of the apostles, was written down and preserved in the Bible, so that we too can read, understand, and believe it. So that as we read it, our minds and our eyes will be open to see Jesus, the living Word made flesh, crucified, risen, Lord of all. He'll be unveiled to us in the breaking of the bread again tonight, as we come to the altar and receive him. The Word made flesh, the Word in visible form, Jesus' body, Jesus' blood. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open our minds, make our hearts burn in us as you open to us your living word. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.